And welcome back to another episode of the greatest radio station, or not greatest radio, well, greatest radio station, sure, but greatest radio show on between the hours of 11 and noon, broadcasting from CITR on Thursdays. Music's on the menu, broadcasting live from UBC campus on the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird. Next to me, well, across from me, actually, is...
Hugh Dana.
And, yeah, it's the last day of class, Hugh.
It is.
Last day of class before finals, so not really the last day of class, but we get to pretend it is for a day, and then immediately get back on
get back on the saddle tomorrow. Anyways, today is April 13th, 2023. On today's menu, we got Daniel Caesar, we'll talk about Daniel Caesar in depth. We'll discuss Ray Schremer's fourth studio album. And then we had some pretty big singles last week. We had Drake. Drake dropped a single that you and I have been listening to quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Some other like songs that I enjoyed was Labyrinth had a single. K-Tramine, which was pretty cool. I love K-Tranada. Jonas Brothers had a good one. We'll get through it. Lil Yachty had an interesting track. We'll go through all those. But we'll start with Daniel Caesar.
I feel like we should
start. You want to start with the singles?
I want to start with the singles.
All right, well, I mean, I think that I'll start off with Search and Rescue by Drake.
Yeah.
Obviously, I really like that record. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think it's, like, one of his best releases in a long time. I think it's probably better than everything on Her Loss except for the beginning of Hours in Silence. I just think it's, like, a really good Drake song. It's totally Drake. I mean, that's not really a Drake beat. It's a Sad Pony and Benny X beat, and those guys are sort of more contemporary hip-hop, which, as we've spoken about, is kind of raucous and in-your-face. And then Drake just goes and Drakes on this beat, man.
He does.
I don't know what there is to say about it, because we can't play it.
Yeah, we can.
There's a clean version?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Of course. It's Drake, man.
Trizzy Drake, man. He's coming in clutch for Music's on the Menu.
It's Drake. It's got to get radio play, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I like the song, too. I like how, you know, Drake's doing his thing on the song. He's rapping in the verses and he's singing on the chorus.
Classic, man.
Which is a nice showcase of his talents. And
It's so catchy.
It is catchy. And I like about the middle of the song, the music stops a bit and I think it's between Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian comes in, and she's just talking about how she didn't come this far to come this far, basically, and presumably talking about her relationship with Kanye West.
That's kind of what the song is. Why it was dropped. This was leaked. Mm-hmm. And like Drake only Drake leaks all of his songs, like his, because you know he only works with so many people. It's such a tight circle that if a song leaks, it leaks on purpose. Like when the whole Metro Boomin thing, that was kind of weird, where
he was supposed to be on Trance.
Yeah, and then the Trance with him dropped, and then Metro Boomin was like, I just didn't want him on there, and then that was kind of awkward. And then this drops with that, which is absolutely an insult, right? Like, him and Kanye
had beef, made up.
Squished it, and then Kanye went off the rails, and Drake was like, Drake took a step back and then is thrown more at him.
Yeah.
But outside of that, dude, this is just, like, an awesome, it's like you said, it's a great mix of Drake's rapping and Drake's R&B. I mean, the tone is a little monotonous.
Yeah.
Can be.
Abrasive
almost.
Not abrasive. I was just going to... Something I was kind of saving, but whatever. You brought it up, the monotony. This song fits into a pattern I've noticed with Drake lately, with going back a few years now, of just, like, him sounding bored on his own songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the... Because the first few times I'd heard it, you were playing it out of your speaker when we were just, like, hanging out and playing NHL or whatever. And it sounded good, and, you know, I didn't really notice that as an issue. Then, like, the first time I listened to it...
I have to agree.
The first time I listened to it with my headphones, I was like, oh, he doesn't sound like energetic or like interested in what he's saying at all here.
Yeah.
But then upon another re-listen, I was like, okay, I might have overblown it. He's still like, he's definitely not like amped up and hyped, but
there's angst in there.
Yeah, there's angst in there, and he is, and it wasn't as bad as I had previously thought, is kind of what I'm getting to.
I had the same thing as you. Like, when I first heard it, when, like, I showed you that, like, my friends and my brothers were like, you gotta listen to this new Drake, you gotta listen to this Drake, and you and I played it when we were outside, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then the next day I woke up and I listened to it, and I was like, oh, this is a little bit monotonous. And then I listened to it again, and I was like, oh, you know what, it's, but the first listen was the best for some reason, which is not always the case.
I think just because there's a lot of good one-liners in that song that you catch him the first time, and it's like, oh, I'm not a pit bull, but Dale.
Yeah, we'll play it.
We'll definitely play it. But yeah, like some of the one-liners, like the first time, just in songs in general, like some one-liners, you hear them the first time and you're like, ooh, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time after that, you're like, eh, this is kind of getting worse for me. This is getting like less cool that like clicked for me the first time, and getting a little more like, oh, you made like a simile stretch. You put it in there just for the sake of having like a fun little simile in there, and it might not totally fit.
Is that the Dale Mama?
Not specifically with that song, but just,
oh, okay.
More of like a first listening and then going back to it experience that I have with some lines. Not necessarily that.
Oh, although, is it just in general?
The American Express bar where he stretches that, hey, yeah, yeah, this is,
yeah, yeah,
a little shaky for me. Bit of a shaky decision.
Anyways, we'll move on from Search and Rescue. We'll play a bit of it. No, I mean, I want to touch on Labyrinth, Never Felt So Alone. I mean, I had heard it before. I think I heard it in Euphoria season 2. It's him and Billy, who's uncredited, but it's obviously her, and they're like harmonizing. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very Labyrinth song where it's like so grandiose. It's like tiny and then grandiose and then intricate.
Yeah, it did sound familiar.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
Of course.
Another single I really liked was Que Tremine, which is Amine and Que Tronada. I love Que Tronada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Que Tronada fan. I love his solo work. I'm not the biggest Amine fan, but Pharrell's on this track. He's singing the chorus, and this is a really good track. Obviously, the two of them are going to drop an album because they have a...
You don't combine your names and release something under a combined name header if just for a single.
Yeah.
Unless you're Travis Scott and Kid Cudi.
I think that the...
There was supposed to be an album.
What happened with that?
I don't even know. That was still, like... That song...
The Scots came out, like, April 2020, right?
Yeah, it did.
It during COVID.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there, to be honest with you. It just didn't happen.
That's my buddy, but...
he was just waving at someone in the office. Big old window.
I assume you probably haven't dipped your toes into that much Que Tronada, but you would really like Que Tronada. He is groovy, man.
Right.
He's like a groovy DJ. He's from Montreal, so
a little bit of CanCon.
Shout out to Canadians, yeah. Another single that I really liked was that I've really been enjoying the Jonas Brothers singles. Obviously, this is like extremely mainstream pop,
mm-hmm.
but it's a cool song about them growing up and solving their problems and in their ways. Obviously, like, I'm a big Nick Jonas fan, like, outside of the Jonas Brothers. I think Nick Jonas is super dope. Obviously, he had that one album in, like, 2015 that had a bunch of hits.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very excited for this record. This and their previous single, they've both only been, like, 2 minutes long. But they've been really cool. They've actually been pretty grandiose and pretty expansive, which is not something... Well, I guess you could... Which is not something you'd expect from the Jonas Brothers, but they are really... going for her with this one, and I would rather play Search and Rescue over this, but the Waffle House by the Jonas Brothers I think is worth checking out.
Okay.
I also think Strike by Lil Yachty is interesting. It's kind of, I think it's worth listening to because it's not psychedelic.
Yeah,
it was not, I
was curious when, you know, I saw the song if it was going to be in more of a continuation of like the psychedelic rock stuff. And it isn't that.
I mean, the only reason I knew about this song is because Drake posted on Instagram. He's like, this been my anthem for too long. So, I mean, this song could be years old.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think it's okay.
Yeah.
He's like the bars in this are far more clever than mm-hmm. most Yachty tracks, I think. Like the chorus where he's talking about Strike. The song is called Strike. I think it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I kind of have our eye on Yachty anyways because of the crazy reboot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the crazy career reboot that he had.
Yeah, which was just, it was so cool, man. Other than that, there's actually been a lot of songs that dropped this week. Shout out New Music Friday, man. They just keep coming back for more, man. The plate is always full with these guys.
It's not like they've really done anything. It's just like an algorithm, probably.
One thing I think we should touch on is Lean's Gone Cold.
Oh, we're getting into that now?
Well, it is on. It is like, I actually listened to it from the algorithm playlist.
Yeah.
And I actually told you to go listen to it.
You did, and I didn't listen to it.
No,
I was doing other things.
Yeah, because I was kind of shocked. Anyways.
Yeah.
Lean's Gone Cold samples Thank You by Ditto or Dido.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Well, it interpolates it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a vocal interpolation from Swae Lee of the chorus that
you
know it from the song, or you know it from Stan with Eminem, Tears Gone Cold, and that whole very, you know, emotionally gripping part. And on the new Ray Schremmerd album that we will discuss, and we sort of mentioned Ray Schremmerd like a few weeks ago when
that's
we were talking
we'll
about gaps in between albums and.
That's
and
crazy
all
that they came up. I don't know how Ray Schremmerd would have come up in that conversation, to be honest.
I don't know. I blame you, though.
Yeah, because I definitely brought them up. But
anyway.
And then they happened to drop.
Yeah, so the song's called Not So Bad. And just the simple fact that, like, he took that song, those words, that melody and everything, and the, you know, like I said, like, it's emotionally gripping, and it's not, and it's sad, and all that stuff, and he... goes and makes it about lean. Lean's gone cold.
Yeah,
like, why is it even a bad thing that your lean's gone cold, man? Like, don't you want to enjoy it cold? I don't know. I've never had lean. I don't drink lean, kids. But
you've never sipped.
I've never sipped.
Never sipped that boo boo.
I don't intend to, unless of course I am prescribed. Like, unless it's actually like prescribed. Well, lean will never
cough
be
prescribed.
But like, yeah, it's prescription cough syrup. So like, you have to be prescribed by a doctor. So only consume cough syrup, prescription cough syrup, at the direction of medical or your family doctor.
Yeah,
kids.
And then briefly,
anyway,
I feel like.
But
we
that's
should...
just anyway. That's just so dumb. That the fact that he did that is so dumb, and it just goes to show just like there's.
You think it's disrespectful? You think it's getting to that ground?
A little bit, yeah.
I mean, you have to assume that he asked.
It's not. Well, of course, you have to get clearance to do something like that. So, like, obviously...
And usually, like, I think he probably would have sent Ditto or Dido the...
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
How do you say her name?
I don't... It's like D-I-D-O, isn't
yeah.
it? So, Dito, who knows? I don't. But, I mean, I guess
song,
it's...
Bro. That's from, like, the 99 or something.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, it's not... I guess it isn't disrespectful because you get the approval of the artist, so I guess they don't care
yeah.
that much. But it's just, like... I think it's just a bad decision. It doesn't look good. It doesn't make you seem inspired.
I mean, but, like, it's kind of makes sense why they would do it, right? I mean, they've been
if
gone
nothing,
for 5 years, man.
Yeah, if nothing else, you're coming back with something.
Shock value.
Yeah, shock value that'll get people talking on their campus radio show about your song. So, if nothing else, I mean, I guess it gets people talking about you again, which is part of what you want to do when you come back after, like, a five-year gap.
And we will talk about all of that. Because I think it's worth touching on. Because I think it also kind of wraps up our conversation for how long is too long. Because someone who we thought waited too long dropped an album, and then now we're going to discuss what the reception was or the product. And then one more thing before we switch to Daniel Caesar is I think we should just once in the show mention NF, who somehow always streams insanely well. Do you even know who that is?
I know who NF is.
He's a Christian rapper.
Okay, yeah. NF is one of those people that people disrespect, right?
Well,
or
he's
people,
not
like don't
like he's
like,
a rapper,
right?
But he's not really part of hip hop because like his
Christian, because it's like Christian rap.
Yeah, because like he doesn't talk about anything that normal hip hop fans would like. So then, but because he has such huge songs, I'm pretty sure he has a song with a billion streams, and that song's actually super dope.
Yeah,
It's like I never that. But I mean, I just think that like he has a single that dropped 2 weeks ago. It's already at 50 million. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
And his mixtape from 2021, I was looking through it, bro. Average 30 million.
Hey, man.
That's insane.
Don't underrate Christians.
That's like close to what Tyler's record averaged.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a mixtape, bro. And the only he's got another thing why he's disrespected in hip hop is because he has a Tech Nine feature and a Hobson feature.
Yeah.
And those guys are chronically hated.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean. Shout out Christian Rap, man. Clearly, he's like leading that charge. Him and the Killers. I guess that's just Christian rock, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think the Killers are hip hop.
Anyways, with that.
We'll play Search and Rescue by Aubrey Graham.
Yeah, we'll.
Some good CanCon this week.
Aubrey Drake Graham, baby.
Yep. Anyway.
Canada's greatest export.
Is he? Probably not. He's among them, though.
Wayne exists.
Gretzky?
Yeah. Alfonso Davies exists.
Alfonso Davies is probably going to be Canada's greatest export.
Yeah.
Just because football is massive.
And he's like the best back in the world.
He's the best at his position, and he's Canadian, and that's cool.
He's kind of a goofy, though. He does post some things that like I don't think I would post.
Okay.
Like the other week he posted that he has no friends.
Oh.
And it's like, dude, you're making like $480,000 a week.
Money doesn't buy friends, though. If anything, it could make it harder to know who your real friends are.
True.
I mean, you can't deny somebody's personal experience.
That's fair. Anyways, we'll play Drake Aubrey Graham. This is...
We'll see how monotonous he sounds on this listen.
Yeah. Anyways, this is Search and Rescue, Drake's newest single.
Take it from me, they don't even need to be as famous as me. I don't think I meet them at the places I be, but deep down I think about you all day, mommy. I know I'm a pit bull, but dolly, mommy, I just wanna take you on a holiday, mommy. Say what's on your mind, I'ma call away, mommy. Come and rescue me, well, take me out the club, well, take me out the trap. Come and rescue me. Take me out the club. Take me out the trap. Take me off the market. Take me off the map. I'm trying to hit the group chat and tell them it's a rap.
I didn't come this far just to come this far and not be happy.
Okay.
Remember that.
You didn't come this far just to come this far.
Yep. I saw it on the internet.
I don't really know how to confess my love. Really seem like I wanna test my love for you who don't know how to express my love. That's why American Express. I need you, yeah, I really do. Tell me what to do.
Okay.
Tell me what to do.
Okay.
Tell me what to do. All I know is hit the mall to see what damage I could do.
Okay.
I give you the world, but there's other planets too. And I need someone to be patient with me. Someone to get money when I take it from me. They don't even need to be as famous as me. I don't think I meet them at the places I be. But deep down I think about you all day, mommy. I know I'm a pit bull, but dolly, mommy. I just wanna take you on a holiday, mommy. Say what's on your mind, I'ma call away, mommy. Come and rescue me. Well, take me out the club, well, take me out the trap. Well, take me off the market, take me off the map. I'm tryna hit the group chat and tell them it's a come and rescue me. Take me out the club, take me out the trap.
Oh, And I'm tryna hit the A, but don't hit me up in WID me, baby, nah. Send a boy a PIC to see me, baby, nah. Okay, now we talking, yeah. Okay, now we talking, yeah. Okay, now we talking, yeah. When we talk, you gotta listen, I don't wanna go missing, I wanna be consistent, not a oppositions, I put you in, I won't put you in that position, I need someone to be patient with me. Someone to get money when I take it from me. They don't even need to be as famous as me. I don't think I meet them at the places I be. But deep down I think about you all day, mommy. I know I'm a pit bull, but dolly, mommy. I just wanna take you on a holiday, mommy. Say what's on your mind, I'ma call away, mommy. Come and rescue. Trap, take me off the market, take me off the map. I'm tryna hit the group chat and tell them it's a come and rescue me. Take me out the club, take me out the trap, take me off the market, take me off the map. I'm tryna hit the group chat and tell them it's a rap.
Of UBC, join us, join the SSN, a collaboration between the C4 Choral Composition Club and the Music Production Club. With us, you can find someone with whom to collaborate, someone with whom to make music. All skill levels welcome. SSN@gmail.com. Reach out. Together, we can make music. Join us.
No, they must have seen you.
I know that you're not too ambitious.
I don't have any friends and you can too. Tune into Teachable Moments on 101.9 FM every Tuesday at 4 p.m. if you're a f***ing dork.
I specifically said no geeks.
But my mom says I'm cool.
Like I'm not even there at all.
Hi, this is Katie J. I play drums in Lié. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people.
All right, and we back. Verdict. He is a little more energetic than I gave him credit for, but still not a ton. But it also kind of works. So
good
I don't
song.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. We were discussing that as we played that. He must have thought about being more energetic on that hook at some point during the recording process. But he was probably like, for this beat, I should probably just keep it.
In keep this it octave. On the Ruski.
Yeah, in this octave. Anyways, we'll transition into Daniel Caesar. So Daniel Caesar released his third studio album, Never Enough. It is his first since his 2019 sophomore try, Case Study 01. It is the standard album is 15 songs with three features from Mustafa, Serpent with Feet, Ty Dolla $ign, and the last one is like Omar Apollo?
Yeah. Yep.
Let me pull it up. Omar Apollo.
Make that four features, not three.
Yeah. And then there is a bonus one out already with Ricky Rose's on it.
Rick Ross.
Which is pretty funny. Rick Ross, Summer Walser, and Bad Bad Not Good. But we'll talk about the standard version first, I think.
Yeah.
This is a really good record, dude.
It is good.
I didn't like... Obviously, I'm a big fan of Daniel Caesar because I just love R&B, as you know. I really liked Pilgrim's... Pilgrim's Journey or the Pilgrim one, which is from, like, 2014. And I mean, I don't really know anyone who's listened to Freudian who doesn't really like Freudian. Pilgrim's Paradise. But I did not like Case Study. I thought Case Study was kind of bland and hard to get through. This is easy listening. This is smooth R&B. His instrumentals are tight. They're crisp. They make you feel like you're watching on like a beachside cliff, like misty morning on a beachside cliff. They're good. They expand when they need to. He's got like a really good guitar solo in there. I mean, I have to say all of the features are actually really good.
I agree with you on 75% of them.
Who do you think is not good?
I don't care for Mustafa.
Do you know? The first time I listened to it, I couldn't tell which one was he.
Mustafa is the first verse. First verse is good. Mustafa's.
I think his verse is better than Daniel Caesar's.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's the opposite. I think
that's a weak track, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Toronto
honestly,
2014.
Honestly, no, I like Daniel Caesar's part. I think that's like, if that was just the song, I think I would like that song. I just think that like Mustafa doesn't carry the tune very well, so to speak. And I don't really care for like his really like breathy and
is this the first time you've ever heard him?
No.
Okay.
And
that's
like,
kind of his thing.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know it's kind of his thing, but that doesn't mean I have to like his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care for, like, his, like, really breathy and, like, sounds like he's singing through tears voice. It doesn't work for me. There's not enough there. I find like, his words hard to understand when he's singing like that. And I don't really, like, enjoy that much. But I think Daniel sees when he comes in on the second part of Toronto 2014, he picks it up a lot more, and I think like the melody and the tune improves, and I think like if Mustafa wasn't there, the song would be a bigger highlight, but for me he drags it down.
That's fair. The other I think Serpent with Feet is great. Omar Apollo's harmonies are awesome. Ty Dolla Sign does Ty Dolla Sign things on an R&B album, and you know that's gonna be good. But this is just a really, like, I feel like Daniel Caesar can be hard to listen to for some people because he is very slow, and the instrument, you can't really, like, it's kind of hard to listen to him in certain scenarios, but I think this is easier to listen to. I think the production is a little bit more expansive. Like, Ocho Rios is, like, one of my favorite songs off this record, the intro. It's, like, more of a quicker-paced Daniel Caesar song. I feel like most people are used to Best Part and Get You. Songs like Always, which we'll probably play.
Mm-hmm.
But there's songs like Let Me Go, which I think is maybe the strongest non-ballad. I think his ballads are always better than his, like, kind of laissez-faire, like, looking at a girl in a sundress songs.
Yeah.
But I really like Let Me Go. Daniel Caesar never really has, like, a thematic itinerary because he kind of just sings about what's happening in his life. And I think that makes it, I mean, I think that's kind of why people love R&B so much, is that, like, it's very surface level, but you can enjoy it, and you can relate it because, like, it's vaguely relatable, which is, I think, is very important when you're writing a song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy listening. This is really, the first, like, eight songs, I think, are all, first nine songs, actually, I think, are all almost awesome. Except for, I think, Toronto 2014 is the weakest. But Do You Like Me and Let Me Go were singles. Valentina was a single. We played this last week.
Yep.
Disillusioned is awesome. I love what him and Omar Apollo do on Buyer's Remorse. They crank up the auto-tune a little bit. They tune their voices and layer it, which I love when people with, like, when Bon Iver does that. Like, they have, like, these really awesome voices, and they tweak them. They just layer them in a contemporary technical sonic things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is probably one of the best R&B records I've listened to in a long time, dude.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a strong album. I also want to shout out the song Shot My Baby, primarily, first and foremost, because I like that in a three-word title, two of the words aren't meant to be taken literally, which is nice, because he's not talking about shooting his child, but it's like shooting somebody down, I think. And what I enjoy about that song is just the instrumental palette switches up, because, like, I'm not a big R&B fan, and I kind of, like, expected what I got instrumentally out of this album, which was a lot of, like, kind of what happened with the Six Lack album that we talked about a few weeks ago. Just a lot of the instrumentals are you know, they're slower, they're spacier, they're reverby and ethereal, whatever words you want to describe. Atmospheric is another good adjective, I think, for what a lot of this album is. And so I do just appreciate with Shot My Baby that, like, the drums are a bit louder, a bit more forceful on that song. There's, like, a snare drum, which is nice to have to switch things up.
He's clever with his production.
Yeah.
He is. He's, for sure. His creative ideas are throughout the song. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like it's not like Yachty got all those guys to make those records.
Yeah.
It's like his hands are in everything.
Yeah. And I like that with that song. It switches things up a bit, switches up the sound, and also just the song title, Shot My Baby, is kind of funny and without context.
Immediately think about shooting your loved one. Interesting that you think about a child.
Well, no, I don't think about a child.
I just think about Cupid.
Fair enough. Well, I think the song's actually just about, like, shooting somebody down.
Yeah.
Rejecting
it's about
them.
Knocking someone down.
Yeah, but just, like, obviously the song doesn't make me think about a child. Just the title without context.
Clever. Yeah.
Sounds like you're talking about shooting a child and not what it actually is. So, yeah, I also like Disillusioned as well.
Yeah, Disillusioned. I really like Serpent with Feet's part. Mm-hmm. I guess this is when R&B was kind of getting way too close to hip hop. I felt like R&B features were not as strong as they could have been. But I think the features on here really add to every song, which is not something you get. Like, we'll talk about Ray Shremmer, where, like, some of the features are just there for clicks.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, Serpent with Feet is awesome. Omar Apollo's high register with the auto-tune and the layering is such a cool switch-up for this album in general.
Mm-hmm.
But Daniel Caesar's head tones are, like, my favorite part about him.
Yeah.
Like, my favorite song in this record is Cool, really slow, but it's emotional. Daniel Caesar, you can really feel it. It's almost palpable. Homosexual is a funny one.
That's just a fun title.
Yeah. I mean, I don't actually, like, when I listened to it, I didn't even hear that come up. It's just like,
I don't think they say homosexual at any point. I think it's about somebody finding someone new and maybe within the friend group or whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was like inter-friend group love.
Pretty much.
That's like what I pulled.
But I feel like it's somebody like outside the friend group who comes in and then is like with the homie. I don't know.
It's funny. I like Vince Van Gogh.
What? Oh, the Simons, sorry.
I mean, both. I'm a big Starry Night guy, but I do think that Pain is Inevitable, Superpowers, Unstoppable, and even Homosexual are not as strong as the top of the album.
Yeah.
I think it trails off,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of...
I can agree with that. I feel like a lot of albums trail off in the back half, though. Maybe that's just because the albums...
I have to agree.
They're playing with, like, the same theme and same idea, so by the time you've heard them for, like... You keep hearing them, and, like,
when
they're fresh, and then, like, 40 minutes in, you maybe want something different. So maybe that's why it happens, or just you put the songs that you think got that idea across the best at the top to get people in, and then
I think that's very common.
Yeah,
but the intro, I think the intro is one of the strongest tracks too.
Trying to figure out like why that's even.
Well, we should have a whole
concept.
Episode on that.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
That's a good topic. Because Daniel Caesar is someone who he waited 4 years, and I don't think that was too long of a wait.
No,
I saw him at Coachella last year. He was amazing, so he's awesome live. Obviously, he has the pipes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, but this is not a case of too little after too long.
No.
I am satisfied with this. This is a really good record.
Yeah, because it comes down, because I think the conclusion we came to in that conversation is really just, are you a good artist in your own right?
I think this is a perfect transition.
And obviously he is a good artist in his own right, so any weight is acceptable if you know that, like, the person is actually coming up with stuff and trying out ideas. As opposed to whatever the heck Ray Shremmerd were doing.
Yeah, so we'll switch over here to Shrem for Life.
Well, we can play another Daniel Caesar song, and that we can play a Daniel Caesar song, and then get into some Shrem for Life.
I think that's a good idea.
That'll be good. So.
Should we play Always?
Yeah, let's play Always.
Yeah, so this is a deeper cut, but this is a really good track.
Is it a deeper cut? I guess it wasn't a single.
Yeah. Everything that wasn't a single is a quote-unquote deep cut.
Fair. True. I guess by technicality. But like, this was a song that like one of my friends who is a like Daniel Caesar fan and an R&B fan was like, this is one of the better songs on the album.
Yeah, I mean,
and it is.
This is structurally and sonically, it sounds like a classic 80s ballad. It's just like an awesome R&B ballad. It's like, it's Daniel Caesar truly in his Daniel Caesar bag. Hope you guys enjoy this. This is Always off of Daniel Caesar's newest record, Never Enough.
Baby, baby, there will always be space for you and me, right where you left it. And just maybe enough time will pass, we'll look back and laugh, just don't forget it. And maybe I'm wrong for writing this song, losing my head over you. And I'll be here, 'cause we both know how it goes. I don't want things to change. I pray they stay the same, always. And I don't care if you're with somebody else. I'll give you time and space. Just know I'm not afraid. I'm always, 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 always. I'm always, always, always. Pretty lady, you so walk with me down. Fighting the fucking line, it's all fine. You'll always be mine. And maybe I'm wrong for writing this song, losing my head over you. And I'll be here, 'cause we both know how it goes. I don't change. Pray they stay the same, always. And I don't care if you're with somebody else. I'll give you time and space. Just know I'm not a phase. I'm always, 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 always.
The 22nd edition of DOXA Documentary Film Festival returns May 4th to 14th, 2023. This year, DOXA is once again returning to local theaters. CITR and Discorder Magazine are a proud partner of My Saigon, a feature-length documentary by Montreal-based filmmaker Kwa Le that constructs a dynamic ode to Saigon's queer and trans communities through a series of intimate character portraits. Visit doxafestival.ca for tickets. And we hope to see you there. A person with HIV can now live a long, healthy life thanks to treatment. But the first step is to get tested. The sooner you know your HIV status, the better. You can now test yourself at home with just a prick of the finger and get results within a minute. Order a free HIV self-test kit online at selftest.catie.ca. That's selftest.catie.ca. Your health is at your fingertips. A message from CATIE, Canada's source for HIV and hepatitis C information.
We are back.
That was always, man, that song is so good.
Yeah, that's a very good song.
Every song we play when it's on, I'm like, man, this song is so good.
Well, bangers only.
Yeah, bangers only.
The conversation might be in question, but the song choice is not. Speaking of song choices No, the conversation will be fine. The song choice is in question, but that's not our
fault. We're going to switch over to Shrem for Life, which is the fourth studio album by Mike Wilmaidit's ear drummers, Ray Shremmerd. Their last record came out 5 years ago, almost six now, actually.
At the peak of their powers.
And it was a smash hit, bro. They had songs like Close, Perfecting Plaguelessness, obviously everyone knows Power Glide, Guatemala. I don't know if anyone listened to the gym album on here, but
no. Ray Shremmerd are an American hip hop duo consisting of artists Sway Lee.
Brothers
Sway Lee
and Slim Jimmy.
Sway Lee, everyone is probably familiar with a lot more than Slim Jimmy because Sway Lee's actually good. He's got songs like Unforgettable with
Post Malone.
Yeah, Sunflower, Post Malone, Unforgettable with French Montana, among others. He's very good. He's always been like a good feature guy.
Yeah.
Good melodies.
He's a good chorus singer.
Good chorus. Pretty good singer in general.
None of that is present on this record.
Yeah. buttering one of the two guys up. Slim Jimmy's just kind of there. He's kind of a part of the equation.
Yeah, you and I weren't even going to talk about this, and then I got a text from one of my close buddies saying, dude, this Ray Shremmerd album is really bad. And then you and I were like, okay, let's take a listen, because we did mention that our artists who waited too long to drop, we included Ray Shremmerd in that conversation.
Yeah,
because Ray Shremmerd was huge. Mm-hmm. It did have one of the most like top 10 stream songs of all time, or Sway Lee does. So.
Anyway.
I don't know what's going on here, but it's not as melodically expansive. They are really trying to be hip-hop here. I don't know if they're trying to be, like, contemporary, because it's not. It still sounds like 2018. I mean, the beats aren't bad. Mike Wilmaidit's made some really good beats, man. Like, mm-hmm. Aries is a good beat. Power Glide is awesome.
Humble.
Mike
by Kendrick Lamar.
That's Mike Wilmaidit.
Is a Mike Wilmaidit beat.
There you go. That is an all-time great beat.
Yeah.
So the production is not lacking, but the execution on the production is strange. Like, Sway Lee, we listen to, like, pretty much, we listen to what? Like, considering all the singles, we've listened to about 60% of this record, or I have.
I've not cared.
And Sway Lee's just not singing. He's just not trying to do what he did on Unforgettable or Sunflower or like Chun-Li.
Yeah, the parts I have listened to, yeah, he's not singing.
No, he's not singing. And I think that now I can see the streaming numbers because I'm on my laptop and I have the album pulled up. And it's been a week. And in a week, almost every Daniel Caesar song had around 1.5 million plays.
Mm-hmm.
There are tracks on here with 200,000.
Yeah. Because who cares about Ray Shremmerd?
And that's
kind of
what you said. Is that like it's been 5 years, no one's going to care about Ray Shremmerd. Sway Lee didn't drop a solo album, which he probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
I used to follow him, actually, because I used to like him that much. And we talked about this. I thought that I was kind of saying, oh, but Ray Shremmerd had so many big hits. And you're like, I think you just listen to them a lot more than most people, which was the truth. Sway Lee used to have in his Instagram bio, album loading. And every month it would get closer and closer. He would change the percentage, and then he just took it off one day.
That's the worst.
That probably ended his career a little bit, because now this is just bad music, man.
Yeah.
Lean's Gone Cold is so questionable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what they were hoping would be the hit. The Tanisha Pump That, we talked about that briefly.
Yeah, when it came out.
It's random.
It's not, like, there's no structure.
The single prior to that was Torpedo. I really did not like. It's like Sway Lee rapping. I mean, pretty much the consensus here is, or the question that I really have is, why is Swae Lee not singing?
Yeah, honestly, because that's like when he's at his best and when they're
making
their biggest
stuff. Well, we said this.
He's
close to an A, man. Swae Lee's close to an A.
Swae Lee, at his best, yeah, he's close to an A because he's a really good singer and his melodies are very strong and all that, and he just, none of that's present here.
And,
like, I think they're, dude, like, I mean, ultimately.
Which makes me think they're trying something. Because, like, if they were just releasing a Ray Schremmern album, it would be, like, 60% Swae Lee, which it kind of always is. At least I think so. And there would just be, like, these airy, spacey Michael Made It beats where he's just singing about, like, a chick in Cancun or something. Because that's, like, what he does best. But he's rapping on almost every song, and I wonder if they're trying to fit contemporary hip-hop, which we brought up earlier in the show, which is like Opium and Yeed, which is like and Uzi's now just strictly rap, 21, strictly rap. I just don't really understand.
I just think their moment's gone, dude.
Yeah, but this is just like a... I mean, like their moment would be gone regardless of if he sang or not, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think, unless they came out, unless maybe, I mean, Swae Lee can come out with a huge hit, bro, but.
I wouldn't be surprised.
The two of them together.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a song that Swae Lee's featured on and he's singing and he's got the chorus and it's
and
a
it
hit.
Charts. It's way up high. It's like a number 4 or 5.
That's still within the realm of possibility. But just like.
Him and Jim, I think, are done.
Yeah, that duo, like, they had their time from like
2013-14
to 2018. That was their time.
They were a big deal, man.
They were definitely a big deal. And just they took 5 years and the scene has changed around them. And you know,
it feels like they're just not trying, man.
Yeah, and they've come back, and it's not like they're like coming back hungry. Or clearly, or like, yeah, I mean, when you have a big gap, it's like, are you not coming out with anything because you don't have any ideas, or you don't want to do it anymore, or are you not coming out with anything because because you're really working on your stuff and you're really trying to get the perfect thing out there, and they probably, I mean, I'm not in the studio with them, but just based off everything, they probably just didn't know where to go. And then, I don't know, bank account gets a little lower than you'd like. Or the record label comes calling and it's like, okay, I guess we got to come up with something.
Yeah. Swae Lee owns like a Conan seg, bro. That dude is filthy rich. You've spent like $3 million on a car.
Yeah, but like, you can't keep spending $3 million on cars, though.
Yeah, but he did when he had... There's Swae Lee, like I told you
didn't
about...
Didn't he have a monkey?
Yeah. Dude, the money coming in from Unforgettable and...
True.
Are gonna keep him chilling for life.
True.
I think that, like you said, I don't know what's going on here because, like, how can you listen to some of these tracks...
Yeah, how... Yeah, exactly.
And be like, ah, this is as good as Powerglide. Let's make this the single.
Exactly. Just like the intro, Origami Hobbies.
I mean, I haven't even... There's this track called YMCA, bro.
Oh, no.
Like, we haven't listened
that makes
to
me,
that.
That makes me nervous.
I kind of want to play
it. Oh, goodness.
Dude, like, yeah, that makes me nervous, bro.
Shout out to Young Thug on Royal Flush, though, for, settling things down and being a good rapper.
Yeah, I wonder how old that verse is.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good question because obviously Young Thug has bigger fish to fry at the moment than making music.
I think it's also worth mentioning that the two brothers fell out for a while.
Mm.
So there's a chance that they come back and maybe Swae Lee sacrifices some creative power in this, or maybe they're just not gelling the same
dynamic's just not the same.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's just not a very Ray Schremmern album.
No.
And like you said, maybe it wouldn't matter. But I think it just compounds it. And the reason we're talking about it is because of that.
It absolutely compounds it.
It's so strangely, almost bad. just like the decisions. Anyways, like we're just kind of killing this album, but
yeah, we're kind of coming back to a lot of the same points on it, but yeah, there's not a whole lot to say.
But it's just confusing, and the reason we're even talking about them is because we talked about them a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, I mean, I think it's kind of ironic, right? We say, mm-hmm. like, you can't wait 5 years. And that's what we were talking about Black's record. We said you can't wait 5 years. Or, like, 5 years is a long time. And if you wait 5 years, you need to have a, like, thematically explosive album. And
you need to make the wait feel like it was worth it.
Mm-hmm. And this does not. And I don't know where they go from here. Like you said, I'm sure Swae Lee's going to have another hit and multiple more hits.
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm saying he can.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked. Like,
yeah. The guy's talented.
He's a classic summer guy. I'm sure he'll be on another Calvin Harris song soon. He's on, like, every Marvel soundtrack. But, like, I think it's interesting. I think that another thing that I pulled from this is people who, like we said, were kind of from quote unquote generations. How long a generation is obviously up in the air, but people like Swae Lee, or Ray Schremer, who haven't dropped music in so long, and the game has shifted so much.
And you also weren't so great to begin with that, like.
But like, it's interesting that they try to go with, like, they almost try to go with the sound now, because like that's the only reason I can think that he's still rap, that it's all rap, is because they want to appeal to the current hip hop community. And Ray Schremer are like they're kind of I think of Ray Schremer as R&B almost, because like when I listen to Ray Schremer, it's the singing songs.
Yeah, well, they're not.
No, they're not. But like
R&B, but I think they can have those elements.
They're fit. Like I would say, like maybe, but they need. But that, like being closer to R&B is when they were the biggest, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now this is all rap. I'm wondering if they are trying to appeal to like the contemporary, like the kids we saw at Yeet.
If they're trying to do that, they're failing miserably.
And that's the point. Is like, is that what?
I don't think they're trying to. They might not be trying to appeal to those people. They might be trying to more appeal to like the Metro Boomin fans, the people who really liked Heroes and Villains, because this is closer to that than it is to anything Yeet came out with.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe that's what they're aiming for. But I think they're
trying to do something like that.
But I think though, when you have a voice in your group who's like as unique and as skilled as Swae Lee can be, that you shouldn't compromise that for the sake of like trying to ride a trend or to try to like fit into like a bigger wave. Like you should stick to your guns and stick to what makes you unique and different, because if you try to blend in, then you're blending in, and that's not going to set you apart, especially when it's already been a ton of time and you just come back with something that sounds the same as everything else. It's like, well, what the heck were you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
But if they stuck to their guns and came out with, I mean, I don't know if they could like capture what they had with like a song like Guatemala, but if you at least tried to stick with what made you special and what made you unique in the first place, that is probably the better decision because you want to like give people a reason to listen to you. You want to give people a reason to choose you over something else. So you want to bring something different. And they're not anymore. And I don't know. That's kind of all I have to say at this point about this record. Is it's, you know, it's a fall off that probably could have been predicted. And
but it's almost, I mean, they made the fall off harder than it should have been by not.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, but with that, we have 5 minutes left. Should we play that Jonas Brothers song?
Sure.
I would like to play that track.
You want
to
play it?
I think it's worth listening to. Okay. If you haven't listened to it, I think you should listen to it.
All right.
Anyways, we'll conclude this Ray Schremer conversation, which was kind of just us beating up dead horse. But
yeah, that horse is about to have its funeral.
But I think it's important to touch on it because we did touch on it.
And that horse looks like roadkill.
This is kind of what we expected, right?
Oh, but yeah, anyways. No, I didn't expect them to come back with a good album.
But I didn't expect it to be, like, this bad. Or just this not Ray Shremmer-y.
I don't know. To be honest, I'm not that surprised.
Obviously, I, like, have a way more affinity to Swae Lee and Ray Shremmer than you.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I'm so shocked. Because last night, we did have that conversation where I thought that they were way bigger than they were.
Yeah, you were way overrating
their
popularity.
Dude, I was way overrating their popularity.
I mean, I was actually underrating them. I wasn't expecting them to have, like, five songs above 500 million plays or anything, and they do.
Yeah.
So good for them for that.
And I think it's worth saying that that kind of music is long gone.
Yeah.
Like, No Type. But this, like, This Could Be Us is such a cool song, man. Anyways, we'll end this conversation, and we'll play Jonas Brothers' Waffle House to end the show, because I think it's worth listening to. And I want you to just get a taste of what the Jonas Brothers' next album. I mean, I don't remember when. Did they drop an album after off Sucker? That was such a big song,
No, I think
dude.
It was just... Well, Sucker is part of an album. Sucker might actually be the title of the album, considering how things go. But yeah, no, it was definitely attached with an album. It wasn't just a single.
Okay. Well, since then, I think you'll enjoy this song. I think it's worth listening to. I think that they're putting out really good work right now.
Right.
So, considering we've just beat up on Ray Shremmer, we will praise the Jonas Brothers for a bit.
We'll play a different group of musical brothers.
Anyways, this is the Jonas Brothers' newest single from their upcoming album titled The Album.
The album's called The Album?
The Album.
Oh, great.
I think Jonas Brothers is the album.
Oh, okay. The album's just, the title's just gonna be The Album.
Anyways, this is Waffle House by the Jonas Brothers.
Just gonna get figured out. Oh, deep conversation that the Waffle House had a strong father and a determined mother. Oh, that's why some nights we try to kid each other, but you know it's always love. We never knew how to fake it, but we always knew how to break.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
In Vancouver.
It's like having a clown in your head.
I've never been a patient person. Not in the yellow bell of summer. heats through the evening, and she's tied to skin.